Hello. If you don't mind, I'm also going to preach. So here we go. Our scripture today comes from Psalm chapter 103, verse 2. It says, "My soul, bless the Lord. Do not forget all his benefits." Let's pray together. Lord Jesus, God, we just thank you for your presence in this place. We thank you for all your grace, your mercy. Lord, I pray over this time that we have together, I pray, Lord, that you are honored and glorified, exalted by all things that we do. And Jesus, I pray, Lord, that you just lead me as I preach. Give me words, give me knowledge, give me wisdom. And it's in your name that I pray. Amen. Amen. You can be seated. Hey, we got some EQ stuff going on up here. All right, so hey, it's me, not Jeff. My name's Logan Smith. I'm one of the pastors here at Hope Church. And yeah, I know we didn't do our big prayer time. We're going to do that at the end, okay? But it's Labor Day weekend, which means that Jeff, our lead pastor, he goes and preaches at Lake Cumberland every year for a ministry that he's been doing for several years now. So today I get to preach, and I also got to lead worship because it's Labor Day and people are out of town. So hope that's all right. We've been in a focus these past several months in the Psalms, okay? And specifically, the past several weeks, we've been here in Psalm 103. And so we have focused on the five benefits of the Lord, okay? Each week, we focus on a different benefit from the Lord. So let's just read those benefits again, because it's really going to play into all that we're talking about today. So let's just look again, verses 1 through 5 here in Psalm 103. So starting in verse 1, it says, "My soul, bless the Lord and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. My soul, bless the Lord and do not forget all his benefits. He forgives all your iniquity. He heals all your diseases. He redeems your life from the pit. He crowns you with faithful love and compassion. He satisfies you with good things. Your youth is renewed like the eagle." Okay, so those are the benefits of the Lord, all right? And those are the five things, the things that we have walked through these past several weeks. And so as you look through the rest of this psalm, okay, it goes to verse 22. If you read through the rest of the psalm, basically all we're going to see here in a minute is that David takes every single one of those benefits and he kind of just like expands on them, okay? He fleshes them out a little bit more. He gives different examples of ways that we see these benefits played out. So here's what we're going to do, okay? And I'm going to give you a fair warning here. We're about to do a lot of scripture, all right? Going to go through a lot. We're going to read through this whole psalm. We're going to break it up into different pieces. And I'm going to kind of fly through them because I got a lot to say this morning, okay? So buckle up. Let's start in verse 6, Psalm 103. We're going to read through verse 12, okay? It says, "The Lord executes acts of righteousness and justice for all the oppressed. He revealed his ways to Moses, his deeds to the people of Israel. The Lord is compassionate and gracious, slow to anger, and abounding in faithful or steadfast love. He will not always accuse us or be angry forever. He has not dealt with us as our sin deserves or repaid us according to our iniquities. For as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is his faithful love toward those who fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our transgressions from us." So in this section, David, again, he's just laying out how God forgives our sin, how he redeems our life from the pit, right? Because he's going back to Moses. He's going back to the Exodus out of Egypt, where they were slaves in literal pits, right? Because that's where they were. They had to make the mud for the bricks and the straw for the bricks to build all the structures of Egypt. And so he's saying that God has rescued them through there. And then not only did he rescue them, but there's this awesome motif all throughout the Old Testament that's pretty much like, and Israel did what was disappointing in the eyes of the Lord. And then they repented. And then they did what was disappointing in the eyes of the Lord. And then they repented, and on and on and on, right? And so David is saying, like, but he's removed our transgressions. He has forgiven us. He is slow to anger. Yes, he gets angry, okay? But he's slow to anger, and he does not stay angry forever, right? And so he's walking them through this history of Israel and how God's been faithful to them. So first off, before we keep going, praise God for those verses, right? Like, he removes our transgressions as far as the east is from the west. He does not deal with us according to what we deserve. Like, is that not one of the most beautiful truths? I mean, I don't know about you guys, but like, when I look back at my life, and I look at pre-Jesus Logan, okay? I look at pre-Jesus Logan, and I'm like, There's no reason that I should be here today. I mean, I even think through the mistakes and the sins that I still struggle with. Because guess what? Yes, I'm a pastor. I'm not perfect. So I still sin. I still have struggles. I still have things that absolutely beat me down. But praise God, those sins have been cast away as far as the east is from the west because of the cross of Jesus Christ. So there's such a beautiful truth. I'm forgiven. I'm redeemed. I've been rescued from the pit for no other reason than the fact that God is good. Praise God for those verses. Next section, verses 13 through 19. As a father has compassion on his children, so the Lord has compassion on those who fear him. For he knows what we are made of, remembering that we are dust. As for man, his days are like grass. He blooms like a flower of the field. When the wind passes over it, it vanishes and its place is no longer there. But from eternity to eternity, the Lord's faithful love is toward those who fear him, and his righteousness toward the grandchildren of those who keep his covenant, who remember to observe his precepts. The Lord has established his throne in heaven, and his kingdom rules over all. And so here in these verses, David is reminding us that even in this short, fragile, quick, hard life, God still loves us. Now listen, I love those verses about our life being dust, all right? Because here's the thing. Like, I'm only 33 years old, okay? I turned 33 in July, so I'm really not that old. However, I'm beginning to feel very old. And let me tell you, camp this year did not help with that. Because here's what's awesome about teenagers. If you don't know this about teenagers, is they have no chill. And they do not care to just say what's on their mind. And there were multiple times walking through camp where they're just like, Logan, why are you hobbling? I'm like, because I got plantar fasciitis because I'm old, all right? And I'll be coming out of the lake, and they're like, Logan, we're looking at you in the lake and all we see is your scalp. I'm like, because my hair's going. I'm like, thank you. I appreciate that. It's very beautiful. Thank you very much. I went and led worship at Crossings for several weeks. And Whitney remembers this. I was walking to a room. She's sitting there talking to one of her friends. And her friend looks at me. She's like, aren't you like 40? And I'm like, dang, bro. No, I'm not. And so like, I'm starting to feel the effects of age, right? And like yesterday, my son and I, we went to Kentucky Kingdom. And like, I'll be honest, the entire time I'm on those bumpy roller coasters, I'm like, Lord, please let me get out of bed in the morning. Like this hurts. This didn't used to hurt. Like Ezra's just like, ah, this is awesome. And I'm like, ah, where's the ibuprofen? And like, I'm in pain, right? And so like, I'm getting reminded very quickly that like, I'm getting old. But David is saying here, he's like, but yeah, that's the point. Like, it's a short life. We're dust. We are fickle. We are like flowers that get absolutely washed away with the wind. And because our lives are so short, because they're so fragile, like there really isn't a reason why God should care for us, but he does. From eternity to eternity. He has faithful love for you, for me. He heals our diseases, which is a part of this fragile dust life, right? He gives us strength when we don't have any. And again, guys, you go to camp, you need strength, okay? And he gives me strength. And so we see he satisfies us even when things get difficult. And lastly, we come to verses 20 and 22. He says, bless the Lord, all his angels of great strength who do his word, obedient to his command. Bless the Lord, all his armies, his servants who do his will. Bless the Lord, all his works and all the places where he rules. My soul, bless the Lord. Amen. So David ends this psalm with, and just remember, psalms are songs, right? Like they were written to music. So right, this is really just this big, think of like this last rousing chorus. All the instruments are killing it, right? Laser machines are flying everywhere. Like this is the moment of the song, right? It's just this big praise for all that God has done, just to recognize him, all of creation, his angels, his armies, all his works. Praise the Lord. So there we go. David's named the benefits, right? That's verses 1-5. He shows us the benefits, and then he takes us through this journey of how we see these benefits played out. And so now the question we have to ask is, well, then what are we supposed to do with it? Okay, because like, we don't get scripture just to have it. We got to do something about it, right? And so David actually gives us two things in here. Two things in the psalm that we are supposed to take away from the benefits. Number one is don't forget them. We don't forget his benefits. And number two is live in his benefits. So let's break those two apart, all right? First one, don't forget, look at verse 2 again. It's the verse we started out with. My soul, bless the Lord, and what? Do not forget. Do not forget all his benefits, okay? So listen, Jeff and I, we've had a lot of conversations about this because there's this sentiment that can go throughout, you know, Christians and believers where they say something along the lines of, you know, like, we're not supposed to love God because of what he does for us. We just love God because he's God. I get the heart behind it. The problem is nowhere in the Bible does it say do that. As a matter of fact, the scripture says the exact opposite. It says, look at his benefits. Look at what he does for you. Love him because of what he does. Look at all the benefits, right? Like, we love God because of all that God has done for us. Those benefits are for us from God so that we would enjoy them, so that we would love him, so that we would run back to him. And the fact of the matter is, all throughout scripture, it tells us to not forget. Let's look at a few. Deuteronomy chapter 6, verses 10 through 12. When the Lord God brings you into the land he swore to your ancestors, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, that he would give you, a land with large and beautiful cities that you did not build, houses full of every good thing that you did not fill them with, cisterns that you did not dig, and vineyards and olive groves that you did not plant. And when you eat and are satisfied, look at this, be careful not to forget the Lord, who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the place of slavery. Look, he's like, Moses, this is before the Israelites have entered into the promised land. Remember, Moses didn't get to go in, right? He got to see it. He never got to go in, okay? But he's telling the Israelites, look, when you go in there, you better not forget who brought you there. When you look at the houses you didn't build, you better forget who did that. Better not forget who did that for you. When you look at the plants and the olive groves that you did not dig, that you did not plant, you better not forget who gave those to you. He says, look at the benefits. Look at what he's done. Love him for what he's done. Just a few verses, just a few chapters earlier in Deuteronomy 4:9. Most again, he says, only be on your guard, diligently watch yourselves so that you don't forget the things your eyes have seen and so that they don't slip from your mind as long as you live. Teach them to your children and your grandchildren. Oh, we're going to get to that part here in a minute, okay? But again, the point is clear. Don't forget what your eyes have seen. Don't forget the benefits of the Lord. I mean, guys, how many in this room can say you have seen God be faithful to you? Yes. How many in this room can say I've seen God redeem my life from the pit? Yes. How many in this room can say I've seen him heal diseases? Yes. I have seen him have compassion and steadfast love for me. Like, why would you forget that? Why would you not love God because of that? You know what I mean? Like, that's so ridiculous. That I just need to love him, not because of what he does for us. Like, the Bible doesn't say that. Okay, guys, think of it this way, okay? Let's say, so I have a beautiful wife. Her name is Kayla. She is awesome, all right? Now, let's just say one day I'm like, you know what? I'm going to be Mr. Romance, which I'm not, okay? But I'm going to be Mr. Romance today. Here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to call the babysitter without her knowing it. And I'm going to leave the house. I'm going to act like, man, I'm going to go pick up some milk or something, you know? But when I show up, I'm going to come back to the house. I'm going to show up at the door, and I'm going to be dressed up, you know, suit and tie, you know, looking good. And I'm going to have a big bouquet of the stargazer lilies, which are her favorite. And I'm going to knock on the door, and she's going to be like, what are you doing here? I thought you went to go get milk. Why are you dressed like that? And I'm going to say, here's some flowers. We're going on date night. Babysitter's on their way. And she's going to be like, really? And I'm like, yeah, I love you. And she's going to be like, but why? Why are we doing this? And I look at her and I say, because I have to. No. I done messed up. Like, I better get comfortable on the bench on the front porch, right? Like, that's where I'm sleeping tonight. But if I look at her, though, and I say, it's because you're beautiful, because you're an amazing mother to our children, you work hard at your job. You care for your students. You are always going the extra mile for people who won't go the extra mile for you. You are everything I wanted in a wife, and I love you for it. Now we going on date night? We going on date night. You know, cha-ching, come on now. Yeah, it'll cost money, that's for sure. But guys, like, do you see the difference there? Like, I don't love God just because it's what I'm supposed to do. I love God because he's worth loving, and he has given me reason after reason after reason after reason to keep loving him. Yes. Right? So I have to remember those things. I have to remember the good benefits of being a follower of Jesus. God, there's so many benefits. And guys, here's why it's so important that we remember all the good things, all the good benefits of God. It's because of the second thing that David wants us to learn, which again, is that we've got to live in the benefits of God. Church, listen to me. If you forget the good things of God, you will forget God. And if you forget God, then you will inevitably live a life not only of disobedience and rebellion against God, but a life that is incapable of recognizing, receiving, or reflecting the good benefits that God wants to give you. Let's look at these verses. Let's look at Psalm 103. We're going to look at some of these verses again, but we're going to look at them closely. Look at verse 11 real quick. It says, "For as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is his faithful love toward who? Those who fear him." Who's his faithful love for? Those who fear him. Verse 13, "As a father has compassion on his children, so the Lord has compassion on those who fear him." Same thing. It's for those who fear him. Verses 17 and 18, "From eternity to eternity, the Lord's faithful love is toward those who fear him." Do you see the theme here? It's for those who fear him, and his righteousness, listen, toward the grandchildren of those who keep his covenants and who remember to observe his precepts. And then lastly, verses 20 and 21, "Bless the Lord, all his angels of great strength who do his word, obedient to his command. Bless the Lord, all his armies, the servants who do his will." So who are all the benefits for? It's for those who do it. Those who fear the Lord, those who obey the Lord, who keep his covenant, who remember to observe and who obey. Now, does that mean that God gives no benefits to unbelievers or to people who don't fear him? No, that's not what that means, because we also see in other scripture that God causes the rain to fall and the sun to shine on the just and the unjust, on the righteous and the unrighteous, right? So it's not that he doesn't offer them, it's not that he's not giving them to you. The question is, are you living a life in which you're able to actually receive them? Because if you're living a life of disobedience, you're not gonna recognize that he's trying to pull you from the pit. If you're living a life of rebellion, then you will not be able to receive forgiveness. Like, you have to walk in a way and live in a way that you are able to recognize, receive, and reflect those benefits, because they're for those who fear him and who obey. Church, this is why we can't forget the things of God, because if we forget the things of God, then we will not live out the things of God. And by not living out the things of God, you will be unable to recognize, receive, or reflect the image of God. Look at James 1, 22 through 25. "But be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves." Listen, even if you know all the benefits of the Lord, you don't do it, you're deceiving yourself. "Because if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like someone looking at his own face in a mirror." Listen to this. "For he looks at himself, goes away, and immediately what? Forgets." He forgets what kind of person he was. "But the one who looks intently into the perfect law of freedom and perseveres in it and is not a forgetful hearer, but a doer who works, that person will be blessed in what he does." Nowhere in scripture does it say that you're blessed simply by hearing. The blessing comes from doing. You've got to do it. You've got to be obedient. And so listen, if you are sitting in this room and you are living in a life of unconfessed sin, of disobedience, of rebellion, I can almost guarantee you that the entire past 5 weeks we've been going through those benefits, you've been in this room going, "Well, I've never experienced that." Well, I can tell you why. It's because you're living a life of rebellion against the God who loves you and who wants you to know his benefits. There's absolutely nothing that blinds our eyes to the good things of God more than disobedience to God. Guys, this is why it's so essential that we remember the things of the Lord. When I remember what God has done for me, guys, those are the days that I get strength. Right. When I neglect my time with the Father, those are the days where, guys, I'm just weak. Like, sin looks really appealing on the days that I don't follow after the Lord. Like, it physically messes with my system, my body, when I'm living a life of disobedience, because the stress, and Jeff talked about this, the stress and the guilt and the things that are flooding through my mind and through my body, my brain, when I'm not living how I know I should be, like, it affects everything. But God is wanting you to remember the good things of the Lord, because he wants to give them to you. He wants you to walk in them. He wants you to live in them. He wants you to recognize. So church, don't forget the good things of God. Don't forget them. And then, guys, walk in them. Be obedient to them so that you would know and experience all these good benefits. So that's why David calls on us not to forget the benefits of the Lord. He is a God who delights to give good gifts to people. Don't forget, like, God's not begrudgingly giving you gifts. He is freely, joyfully giving good gifts to us. But whether we are able to recognize those good gifts completely depends on if you're living a life of faithfulness or not. So with all that being said, I want to go back real quick to one of the scriptures that we read earlier. And before we get there, I want to give you all a heads up for a moment, okay? I'm going to take a moment here. And the reason why I'm doing this is because, I mean, I really felt the Lord tugging this in my heart for a while. It's going to be hard, but I'm going to speak to parents for a second. Parents in the room, okay? Now, that's very small kids, elementary kids, middle, high school, like, doesn't matter. If you're a parent in this room, I really need to speak to you for a moment, okay? Now, kids, you listen too, because this does have to do with you also, all right? But look again at Deuteronomy 4:9 real quick. Only be on your guard, diligently watch yourself so that you don't forget the things your eyes have seen, so that they don't slip from your mind as long as you live. Now, listen. Teach them to your children and your grandchildren. As you see in this scripture, there is a God-given mandate and responsibility to teach your children about the things you've seen God do. And the reason why we do this, again, is because of what we just said. It's because if we forget the good and faithful, beautiful things of God, we forget God. And when we forget God, we live a life of rebellion and disobedience that makes us unable to recognize, receive, or reflect the good things of God. So listen, I just need to be honest with you guys. Like, we got Comzo starting on Wednesday. We've already started youth for the semester. And I've been the student pastor here for 11 years. 11 years that I have taught students here. Parents, you need to listen to me good. There is a world and an enemy that wants your kids. There's an enemy that wants your kids, and he's doing everything he can to get them. Now listen, I know as I say that, I know good and well a lot of y'all are probably thinking I'm talking about stuff like philosophies around sexuality. I'm talking about relative truth, you know, whatever that is. I'm talking about all these different, you know, like transgenderism, different philosophies and drugs or whatever. But listen, I know many of y'all are probably thinking that's what I'm talking about. And yes, while those are big things and they are serious things, that's not what I'm talking about. That's not what I'm talking about at all. Here's what I'm talking about. I'm talking about how easily the enemy can lie to you parents to convince you that your child's athletic and academic achievement is of more value than their spiritual walk. Listen, for 11 years, people have asked me what the biggest challenge is to my student ministry. It is not teaching on sexuality. It is not liberal theology. The absolute biggest challenge that I face in 11 years is sports. Sports and homework. No greater challenge have I faced in my ministry than sports and homework. There's nothing that competes for your child's heart more than their travel baseball team, than their basketball team, than their band, than soccer. And again, second right behind that is homework. Kids will not be coming to church. They don't come here on Sunday mornings. They don't come here on Wednesday nights. They're not part of Comzo. They're not part of the youth group. Why? Because they didn't get their homework done in time, and so they got to stay home and do their homework. And listen, I want to make something abundantly clear here. It's not sinful for your kids to play sports or do their homework. I love sports. Praise God, college football is back. Let's go, right? Ezra plays on a baseball team. He's good. I mean, he had an awesome game on Thursday, and I was so proud of him. I didn't get to be there, but he's really good at for his age. I'm so, so proud of him. So, guys, it's not sinful for your kids to do these things. It's not sinful for them to be a part of these things. But parents, please listen to me, and please listen to my heart, because for 11 years, I have loved the students that have come through this church. And I've got to tell you, parents, the enemy has convinced so many of you that if your child doesn't have the best grades or isn't the starter on their team, then they're going to miss out on this life. Listen, it's a lie. Parents, it's a lie. Do you hear me? It is a lie that if your child is not at every practice, if your child is not getting perfect straight A's and everything, that they are not achieving something. That's a lie. Their value is not there. But we put so much stock into our kids' sports and achievement that you forget that God has given you a mandate to teach your children, to lead them, to go back to the good benefits of the Father. And you cannot do that if sports and school continue to be number one in your kid's life. Guys, and listen, I've heard it all. 11 years, I've heard it all. I don't want to fight them. It's a fight every single time we try to get the kids to come there. They don't want to be there. They don't know their friends. They don't know that any of the kids that are in the youth group. They don't want to be a part of it. It's just a fight. So it's just easier for us to stay home. I've never heard that excuse for baseball practice, and I know your kids have fought you to go to a practice, because my kid fights me all the time. I've not heard that about getting their homework done. Like, there are fights that you are willing to fight, but when it comes to being a part of the people of God, in the presence of God, for some reason you quit. Parents, listen. You are believing lies from the enemy. And I hear people say things like, well, I don't want my child to resent the church. I don't want to drag him over here. I don't want him to just hate the church. I mean, guys, listen to me. First off, you can't expect your child to love the church if they're never part of the church. And then I hear parents who are shipwrecked, who are heartbroken because their kids grow up, they leave the house, and they walk away from the faith. Guys, listen to me. I know I'm sounding harsh, but I don't want the enemy to have your kids. And it's not the big things you're thinking of. It's small things. It's sports. It's homework. It's I'm too tired. I don't want to wake up today. But you all have a God-given responsibility and a God-given authority to lead your children to the good benefits of the Father. I mean, listen, you can't expect your children to walk faithfully if they never go to the faithful Father. You just can't. And I'm not trying to shame you. I promise I'm not. I'm not trying to hurt you. I'm not trying to guilt you. I'm not trying to make you angry. I promise. One of the things I'm definitely not doing is I'm not trying to build up the numbers in my ministry. I love when we get a bunch of kids coming on Wednesday nights, Sunday nights. Like, that is not my goal. I'd much rather have a faithful ministry than a big ministry. Okay? So, like, I don't care about the numbers. I'm not trying to bump up my numbers right now, okay? We're not about attendance. What I'm about is I want to see your children know the Lord, remember his good benefits, and walk in them. Amen. That's all I want to see happen. But parents, it begins with you. If you're not remembering the good benefits of the Lord, and if you are not walking and living in the good benefits of the Lord, only by God's grace are your kids going to. Because it hurts for me to say it. Because I love you all. But I love you enough to tell you I don't want the enemy to have your kids. Okay? So as we come to a close, I'm going to give you all some invitations and challenges. First and foremost, if you've never surrendered your life to the Lord, if you're in this room you're an unbeliever, you're here just for whatever reason, the Lord got you here for whatever reason, but you're not a believer in Christ. Everything that we just read in Psalm 103, guys, it ultimately points to a person, and that person's name is Jesus. Jesus is the one who redeems my life from the pit. Jesus is the one who heals your sin, who heals your disease, who forgives you of sin. It is about Jesus because, listen, Scripture makes it abundantly clear that apart from Jesus, we stand condemned. Like, you're not going to be condemned later. God's not up there with a checklist waiting to see if you hit enough marks when you get up there to see if you're going to go to hell or not. You're already condemned. Hell is already your reality. But God came to pull you out of that and to give you new reality. He did that by sending Jesus, who is perfect, sinless, took every one of your sins and claimed them as his own. And he died a death on the cross so that you could be forgiven of your sin. And he rose from the dead 3 days later so that you could be given life, a new reality in Jesus' name, where you could be redeemed from the pit, made new, forgiven, sin as far as the east is from the west. If you're in here, you've never surrendered your life to the Lord, the invitation is come surrender. Man, he's got benefits. And they're awesome. Second invitation is for you in this room. Maybe you're going through a season, you're just forgetting. I mean, it's just been a rough season. You're in a season of rebellion. Guys, my invitation to you, my challenge to you is repent. Guys, run back again, because there is that motif all throughout the Old Testament. Israel did what was wrong, God brought them back. Listen, if you're in Christ, doesn't matter if you're in a season of rebellion, disobedience, Jesus wants to bring you back. So like right now, take a time to confess and repent. Turn from your sin and run back to the Father. Let that be for you right now. Then lastly, parents, if you're believing a lie about your child, my invitation for you today is to be set free from that lie. Come on. To bring it to the feet of Jesus. And submit to the fact that you have a God-given authority over your children to lead them to the good benefits of the Father. There's freedom in this. So here's what we're going to do. We didn't do our prayer time earlier. We're going to do that right now. So everybody, go ahead and bow your heads. Here at Hope Church, we don't want to pray for you. We want you to be a part of our prayer. So the first thing that you're going to do is you're just going to tell the Father you love him. Tell the Father you love him from your heart to the heart of the Father. He is a Father who has compassion on his kids, who loves his kids. That's us. Tell him you love him. Let that move you into a time of giving thanks. Thank the Lord for all that he has done for you. Thank him for his benefits. Name them. Name instances right now. Name them to the Father, ways you have seen him display his benefits in your life. Let that move you to a time of confession and repentance. He already knows your sin. Guys, lay it at his feet. Lay it at the cross right now so you can experience sin cast away as far as east is from the west. Confess your sin to him. Lift up your own personal needs. If there are things in your life, healing you need, financial help, just things, just pray for the Lord. Pray for the Lord to intervene, step in and do what only he can do. In our nation, we pray for the victims of those in the Minneapolis church shooting. We know that 2 children, ages 8 and 10, were killed. 3 adults, 14 children injured. Shooter took his own life. And look, it's real easy. Let me just say this. It's real easy for you to only pray for the families of the victims and to ignore the family of the shooter. Do not do that. Pray for that family too. they are heartbroken over what has happened, and they need the benefits of the Lord right now. So pray for everyone involved in that, the first responders, the children, those who worked at the church, the school, just pray for them. Continue to be faithful in prayer, just for all the wars going on, Gaza and Israel, Russia, Ukraine. They do have power. Pray. Pray over our students and our children. We have, like I said, we got Comzo starting on Wednesday. We've already started with youth. Guys, pray that the Lord would raise up a generation of faithful followers of Jesus who take the gospel to the ends of the earth. That starts here. Pray for our kids. And then lastly, tell the Lord you love him one more time. He loves to hear from his children that we love him. And God, we do love you. You are so faithful to us. You are so kind to us. We don't deserve it. Lord, I pray in this moment as we sit here in prayer, as we sit here in God's in your presence, Lord, let us not forget your benefits. Remind us of the good things you've done. Take us to the cross where we see all of your yes and amen right there at the death of Christ. And take us to the empty tomb where our hope lies. God, we praise you, we thank you. It's in Jesus' name I pray, amen. Church, we're gonna stand. If you need to respond in any way, there's gonna be people up here who love to pray for you, love to talk to you. So if you need to respond, take your time to do that. But church, the invitation is this: whosoever will, for whatever reason, you come. Let's sing together.